Last week we started talking about a number of steps that we can take in our daily walk that will begin to transform and change the way that we live, the way that we view, the way that we think, the way that we act, places that we go. The first one we began to talk about last week was knowing where to take our cares. Knowing where to take our cares. When we have concern, when we have care, when we have stress, when we have anxiety, when we have worry, what do we do with those things? And they're real. They're so real and they're so captivating to so many hearts and so many lives and so many people that we see in our society today are just so troubled by the cares of this life. The worries and the fears and the anxieties that go along with work and go along with home and go along with finances and go along with, you know, relationships and all that kind of stuff. There's just a lot that goes into everything that we do on a daily basis. Would you agree or disagree? And because of that, it's weighty and it's heavy and it's real. You know, it's real to those who are going through it at the moment. When we deal with loss and we, you know, deal with family situations and, you know, we view things and we see things through our own lenses. And because of that, they affect us. And we've all had different imprints on our life. By the way we were brought up, by the way our parents maybe have done things, by the way maybe our grandparents done things, reminded me of a story that I'd heard many years ago where a young woman called her mother one day and said, "Mom, you know, I got the roasts for dinner and I was getting ready to cut it to put it into two pans. And I thought, why do we cut the roast and put it in two pans? Why don't we just cook it in one pan?" So she called her mom and her mom said, "Well, that's a good question. I don't know." She said, "Let me call grandma and ask her." She said, "Because that's the way grandma always did it, so that's the way I did it." And the daughter said, "Well, there's got to be a reason why we do it in two pans." So the mom hung up and she called grandma and she said, "Mom," she said, "you know, so-and-so called and asked, you know, why do we cook the roast in two pans?" And grandma giggled on the other end of the phone and mom said, "What's so funny?" And she giggled a little bit more and the daughter of the mom said, "Well, Mom, what's so funny?" And she said, "Oh, honey," she said, "there's no reason we do that. I just didn't have a pan big enough to put the whole roast in. So I cut it in half and cooked it that way." Well, her daughter, all those years, followed suit and cut the roast in half and cooked it. And she had pans big enough to cook the whole roast in. And here came a third generation that was going to do the same thing and had no understanding or no idea. And there was no real reason why. It's just the way she saw it done. How many of you here tonight are old enough to admit that you have done something recently or said something recently that one of your parents would have done and said, and you would have never thought you would have ever done or said it? Anyone? Well, there's a few of us brave souls that would admit it. We're imprinted by those things. We sometimes respond to things that happen in our life the way we've seen response. You know, if mom was a yeller, maybe you grew up being a yeller. If dad was a yeller, maybe you grew up because that's what you saw or you modeled. Maybe somebody in the family was stingy, and so you grew up being stingy. You know, or whatever, bullheaded. Anybody? No one. Nobody here is bullheaded, right? But somebody in the family was bullheaded, and so we become bullheaded. Now, don't stop looking at each other. You know, giving it away. But we're imprinted by those things, and we leave imprints as well. We leave imprints in our children's lives. We leave imprints in our grandchildren's lives. Monday, the kids were off school, and I got to take Brody for the afternoon and just spend the whole afternoon with him, which I don't haven't got to do for a little while. And we went to lunch, and he first asked where we were going to go. And I said, well, I think we're going to go to Chick-fil-A, but I didn't tell him the second part of what we were going to do. And he said, oh, why don't we go to Old McDonald's? That's what he calls McDonald's, Old McDonald's. And I said, well, you want to go to Old McDonald's? And he said, yeah, I'd like to go to Old McDonald's. And I said, oh, okay. I was going to go to Chick-fil-A because then we were going to go to Chuck E. Cheese and play some games. And he said, oh, Pap, I get Old McDonald's and Chick-fil-A confused sometimes. He goes, because they both got nuggets. He goes, no, I want to go to Chick-fil-A. And he giggled in the back. He said, I get them confused sometimes because they both have nuggets. I thought, yeah, you're just working me. So we went and we ate, and then we went over to Chuck E. Cheese, and we were playing games, and I got him one of them little cards, you know. It's amazing. You don't put tokens anymore. You swipe a card. It's crazy, yeah. And so you buy the little card, and he's swiping the card, you know, and every game he's swiping the card, and we're running around, he's swiping the card and playing all these games, and I was watching the total. Never once did he watch the total, not once. Just swipe. Like some of you with your debit card, I was in line with somebody by Walmart over around Christmas time, and they put their chip in, and when it said approved, they went, yeah. Had no idea whether there was enough in there or not, but at the moment of victory, it was like, yes, there was enough in there. Something else probably didn't get paid, but there was enough in there for that, you know. And so he's swiping and swiping. I'm watching, and finally he gets. I see he's got one thing left, and he swipes it. And next thing he tries to swipe it, and it won't. He's swiping. He's swiping. It's not coming up. And he turned around and he looked at me with them big brown eyes, you know. And it was done. And I reached in my other pocket and I went. And he said so loud in the middle of that Chuck E. Cheese, I am so glad you are my pappy. And he grabbed hold of me and is hugging me. And there was, you know, a bunch of people there. And they just busted out laughing. He's, I'm just so glad you're my pappy. And he's hugging me. And then he steps back and he goes, my big belly pappy, my big belly pappy. And I'm like, okay, let's stop with I'm just glad you're my pappy. But we leave imprints. We leave imprints in lives, you know, and people leave imprints in our lives as well. You know, I was laughing with Jim and Lynn not long ago. John left such an imprint in my life when he was just a little guy. Can I have a quarter? Can I have a quarter? John was, anybody here John ever asked for a quarter when he was little? John, maybe a few. John would go around and just a little kid, you got a quarter? Can I have a quarter? Can I have a quarter? I don't know how many bucks he racked up on Sunday mornings, but I'm sure he did pretty well for himself sometimes. You couldn't deny him. You know, he's just so cute. And but, you know, we leave imprints, and we do things in life that stick with us. And so we have to be aware of those things and how are we imprinting people's lives. And I think it's vitally important as followers of Jesus Christ, when the Word says, cast your care on the Lord because he cares for you as the children of God, we need to take care of that so that when the world sees us, or, you know, unsaved people see us, or friends see us, or relatives see us, they don't see us worrying and stressing out and fretting over things that everyone else does, because we know where to go. Amen? And so that's what we talked about last week. What an introduction, huh? Tonight we're going to talk about cultivating a habit of being thankful. Cultivating a habit of being thankful. We live in a very unthankful, entitled society today, where everyone takes and believes that they not only have the right, but they deserve everything. That's a lot of what our society is today. People want things that it took, young folks today want things that it took their parents years and years and years and years and years and years to work for, you know. I mean, it took Susan and I years to be able to buy our first dining room set that we actually paid for, that we didn't get somebody else's hand-me-down or something, that they were getting something new and they passed it down. How many know what it's like to get some passed-down furniture? Yeah. There's a lot of folks today wouldn't dare take something that was passed down. because they're entitled to the new. And that entitled attitude, that entitled mentality should not be present in the heart and in the mind of those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ. And we need to be very careful to guard against that. We live very much in a world where it's very easy to lose perspective. It's very easy to lose perspective. How many remember the story of the 10 lepers? And how many of the 10 came back with a thankful heart? One. Only one returned. And when the one returned, Jesus' reply to him was, Were there not ten? Were there not ten? Ten were healed. But based on the delivery of the story, one was made whole. There were ten that were healed, but one was made whole. The one that returned to give thanks. And we live in a world where it's very easy to lose perspective. And it seems like every time something goes wrong, we can lose our perspective of what is important and what isn't. Have you ever found that to be true? Even when you're doing and trying as hard as you can to not lose perspective, sometimes we do. Thanksgiving is a powerful way that we can get our perspective back. By living every day with an attitude of thankfulness. Thankfulness reminds us of how good God is in our lives. How good God is in our life. I said to my wife, there's somebody in our life that's been in our life for about 17 years now. We met this individual the very first event that we came to at this church. And that individual has a very good perspective at times about life. That matter of fact, that person sometimes has a, and I don't know how perfect the person is because I don't live with them, but I know in many situations where I've been in a conversation with that person, they have a very good perspective. They have a knack or a way of seeing something about that story or that situation that sometimes not everybody sees. And I greatly appreciate that. Greatly appreciate that. That's a blessing. Because I think that that's an individual that understands what it's like to be on one side of the coin without Christ and then to be on the right side of the coin. And see, there's a big difference when we understand what he's done for us. When we truly understand what he's done for us, how can we not be thankful? How can we not be thankful and living a life of thankfulness? So we've got to begin to cultivate a life of thankfulness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. When you're there, say, got it. Got it? All right. Who said got it? George? Read verse 17 for me, will you? Pray without ceasing. That was quick. Thank you. To warm you up. Give you a short one to warm you up on. What does that mean? What is the implication of that? What is the word saying to us here? Pray. What is pray? First of all, what is prayer? What is prayer? Very simply, it's talking to God. Prayer is conversation. Prayer is conversation. Sometimes we make prayer so difficult. Prayer is just talking. Prayer is conversation with God. So prayer, talking, conversing with God without ceasing. In other words, it means that God needs to be in the forefront of our life so that when we have difficulties, we have troubles, we have these situations that arise in our life, we know where to go. We go to him. And we know we have the confidence that we can take our cares and our concerns to him. So pray without ceasing. Then verse 18 says, give what? Give thanks in all, say all. How many of you have had some circumstances in your life you didn't feel thankful? How many have ever been in some situations in life you did not feel thankful? You weren't, let me just say this, you weren't feeling blessed at the moment. You weren't feeling the goosebumps of the Sunday morning praise and worship service. You weren't feeling the goosebumps of the prayer time that was happening in the front of the altar. You were feeling like somehow, some way, Jesus fell asleep in your boat and he has no idea that the storm is raging all around you, and you're not real thankful for that because you wish he'd wake up. But we got good news. He doesn't slumber. He's aware of every situation and circumstance in our life, so therefore we can be thankful. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That we would learn, that we would grow in wisdom and understanding to know that whatever it is, we can be thankful. Thankful for the problem? No. Thankful that he's there. Thankful that he has the answer. Thankful that he's victorious. And thankful that you are victorious. Thankful that he's going to bring you through it. Thank you that he's not going to abandon you. Thankful that he's not going to leave you alone. It is, Donna, it's a really sad testament to the church, to Christ, when we as believers in Jesus will become bitter or angry because of situations in our life. It really shows a lack of depth in our trust in him. It shows a lack or a lack of depth in our confidence in him, in our faith that he will bring us through. In all things, you know, when we had church in the hotel room with my brother and my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, and we were laying hands on them and praying over them and trusting and believing God for a miracle in their situation, I immediately after praying said, now it's time to give him thanks. It's time to thank him in this situation. It's time to praise him right now in the situation. And see, we've got to learn to cultivate that in our lives. We've got to learn to cultivate that atmosphere and that attitude of thanksgiving before it gets put to the test. Because I could tell you, if it ain't cultivated before the test comes, you're going to fail the test. If you don't begin to build an attitude of thanksgiving before the difficulty comes, when the difficulty comes, you're not going to be thankful in the middle of that difficulty. So you got to begin to cultivate that thanksgiving in your life before the storm comes. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 107 and verse 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Have you ever in your life, maybe you would not utter the words, but because of your actions or the way that you pursued something, it showed that you weren't sure that God was good in a situation? Why would you ever let this happen to me? Why would you allow this in my life? Why? The psalmist said, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. God's love is steadfast and it endures. There's a lot of things that are not steadfast in our world and in our society today. We're very wishy-washy with things. You know, the last few days, the sports talk radio shows have been blowing up over the Steelers' loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars. People's worlds were coming to an end. Everything that they were putting their hope in, winning a game, came to an end. And those who were praising a few days earlier were pounding their fists now. Those who were celebrating were now calling for heads to roll. At times we're wishy-washy. Wishy-washy in relationships. Wishy-washy in commitments. If things don't always go the way that we had planned or the way that we intended, we become wishy-washy in that thing. Not sure if we want to do it anymore. Not sure if we want to be a part of it anymore. And the only thing that changed is it may have gotten a little difficult. But because of that, we lose our perspective or our desire. You know, sometimes nuggets are hard to find, but if you find one, it's a real treasure. When you heard about that Rembrandt that was found in the basement of a house just recently, the young brothers said the painting was in the house for years and they never understood the painting, didn't like it. And when the parents, I guess, passed, they took it and threw it down the basement under a ping pong table or pool table or something. And when they wanted to use the table, whichever it was, they had to move the picture, and there was an auction, I guess, coming up around where they were, and they thought, well, let's take some of this stuff to an auction and see, you know, if we get $100 for it or a couple $100. Well, I think it sold for $1.2 million or $1.5 million. Here it was a lost Rembrandt, and it was in the basement of the house, and it's a shock that it didn't get thrown away. Things that maybe weren't important to us but were important to somebody else, we don't show much concern, care, honor, or respect for those things at times, but not the Lord. He's steadfast. You are the apple of his eye, and that doesn't change tomorrow when you disappoint his heart. You may disappoint his heart, but you're still the apple of his eye. There may have been times in my life that one of my children may have disappointed me, but it didn't mean, Karen, they weren't the apple of my eye. It didn't mean, Lynn, that ever did my heart wane from loving. You know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, they may disappoint you at times, but you love them in spite of whatever the failure or the mistake or whatever it was, because your love is steadfast for them, and it endures through. I love and I admire people that will endure. You know, the scripture says a brother is born for what? Huh? For adversity. A brother is born for adversity. In other words, a brother won't abandon you when it gets hard. A brother won't leave you when it gets tough. I remember many years ago, I was at a pastor's conference, and I heard this pastor telling a story about how their ministry was really struggling financially. It was very, very small at the time. It was a very well-known ministry now worldwide. And if I said the name, you would all know the name because it's worldwide. It's very well-known. And the pastor said they were struggling financially, and the bills were piling up, and they didn't know what they were going to do and how they were going to make the bills, and you know, things were just tight, and it was struggling, it was frustrating, it was hard, and his board began to doubt him and question him, and he kept feeling God wanted him to do certain things. And he was praying one day, and I think they had like $18,000 in the bank, and one morning in prayer the Lord told him to go to get together with the treasurer. Ron, could you imagine me coming to you and everything's mounting up and everything's looking bad and we got $18,000 left in the bank? And I would come to you and say, Ron, I was praying this morning and God said to give it all away. As much as you would want to trust me, that would be hard to receive, wouldn't it? Melinda's shaking her head. You're all like, yeah. Everybody's, yeah. That'd be hard to do, wouldn't it? He said, I'm telling you, God told me we are to give it away. He said, first of all, that $18,000 isn't going to do anything we have need of. God said, give it away. They had a board meeting. They met without him. They called a board meeting at one of the board members' houses without the pastor. He's losing it. The stress has become too great. He needs, you know, he may even need to take a sabbatical for a couple weeks to get, you know, his thoughts together. So they call him and they meet with him and they said, Pastor, we're concerned. And he said, about what? And they said, well, what you want to do? And he said, He said, I don't want to do it. He said, I don't want to do it. But that's what God said to do. And they were like, well, two of the board members raised their hand and said, Pastor, if you do this, we're resigning. You're going to resign. If you do this, Pastor, we're resigning. Two of them resigned that night. There were four of them. The treasurer and the other one said, Pastor, we have followed your heart for years. And if you're telling us this was God, then if this boat goes down, we're going with you. Let's start writing the checks. Who do you want to give it to? They start writing out the checks. They were well over, I think, it was like a few hundred thousand dollars in debt at the time. Bills weren't being paid. Who do you want to write the checks to? And he said, well, I felt we were supposed to give one to this place and one to that place and one to this place. And one. They wrote out $18,000 worth of checks. The very next day in the mail came a check for $50,000. The very next day. 2 days after that, another check came. A few days after that, another check came. And it was just like a chain reaction. Checks begin to flow into the ministry from other places and other parts of the world, and pastors that this pastor didn't even know. And they'd say, I don't know why, but God just told me to send you this check for $100,000. I don't know why, but God said to give you this $50,000. I don't know why God said give you this $10,000. But here it is. Within a couple of weeks period of time, they paid off the entire debt that the ministry had. The church began to fill up with people. The two board members that jumped ship came back. And after service, they said, can we meet with you? He said, certainly. And they went in the office and they said, we want to come back. We want to get back on the board. He said, you are welcome to come back to the church. As long as I'm the pastor, you will never serve on my board again. He said, because if you couldn't stand with me in adversity, you don't deserve to stand with me when it's going well. Whew. I heard him give that testimony with his own mouth. I thought, wow. A brother is born, Henry. For hard, brothers weren't abandoned brothers. Brothers will stick and work it and fight it. Pursue peace, goodness, steadfast love endures. 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 So if the steadfast love of the Lord is in me, the steadfast love of the Lord is in you, if the steadfast love of the Lord is in Christians today, then we should be as he is, steadfast and endure. Endure. Have you ever had to endure anything with someone? I have a particular individual that's been in my life for many, many years. And I have lost a few friends over this individual. It has not looked favorably in certain circles because I have not abandoned a relationship with a certain person. Now, I don't see that person very often. When I mean I have a relationship, it's very distant at this point in my life. Matter of fact, it's been years since I've even seen or spoken to the person. But if they called me tonight and needed me, I'd be there. It's just time and space. We just haven't had the opportunity to really to see each other very much. But my love for that individual has endured. My steadfastness toward that person has endured. Even in the midst of, you shouldn't be friends with that person. Do you know what they did? Yeah, I know what they did. But I know this too, but for the grace of God, that could have been me. And it could have been you. And I'm going to pray for them. Going to give them good advice. Sometimes they don't accept the good advice. Do you ever have somebody in your life that you try to give good advice to, but they just don't? You know, there are just some people in life, they just, I don't know what it is, Shelly, but they'll just make bad choices. I know a few individuals in my life, Jill, that if you put 10 decisions in a room and 9 of them were right, they'd pick that 10th one every time. Do you ever know anybody like that? It seems like they're just incapable at times of making that right decision. But you know what? I've watched God move in that person's life as well. I've watched God do unbelievable things in that person's life. I've watched God use that person to just be amazing in other people's lives, because the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And although this individual had his certain struggles with whatever he struggled with, he loved God, he loved the Lord, and the Lord loved him. In spite of him having his failures, and in spite of him making bad decisions at times, it never caused God to stop loving him. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always and for everything to God. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always and for everything. Colossians 3, verse 15 through 17. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Know Christ, no peace. The more Christ, the more peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Be thankful. You want to do an interesting Bible search, just go through the scripture and see every time the scripture admonishes us to be thankful, thankfulness, you know, any word with thankful in it. Go through and see how many times throughout scripture we're admonished to give thanks, to be thankful. Let the words of Christ, let the words of Christ. How many years have you been saved? Everybody want to tell me, how many years you've been saved? All, come on, just shout it out. How many years you've been saved? All right, we'll try this. 10 years. How many years? 30. You were born almost saved. How many years you've been saved? Two years. 2 years. Wow, good for you. Don, how many years you've been saved? About 40 years. Wow. Since 1975. James? 79. Since 79. Lynn? 78. You were in before him. Did you bring him into the fold? No? John, how long have you been saved? About 15, 16 years. Murray? You little Assembly of God girl, you were born saved, right? About 30 years? Nate? 33 years? 10 years? 19? Come on, your mom and dad are listening now. How many years you think? 25 years? Stan, how long have you been saved? You're not saved? Oh, okay. Well, I think we better stop right now and pray for him. You said you didn't know how many years. Oh, I thought you said you didn't know if you were saved. It's been a long time. Yeah, it's been a long time. Erica, how long have you been saved? About 20 years. Melinda, how long have you been saved? About 40 years. Wow, Ron. 41 years. Jason? Huh? This year. All right, Heather? Since 8th grade? All right. How long? 30. George? 2 years. Wow. Sherry? About 40 years. Dan? Wow. Jill? Yeah. So you were just, you've just been in the church your whole life, pretty much. 32 years. Wow. I was saved when I was 12. And I'm 54 now, so you do the math on that one. Some of us have been saved a long time in this room tonight. Been saved a long time. We've heard, and the point that I'm trying to make by that is, how much word have you heard? How many sermons do you think you've heard in your life? Hey, Henry, how many sermons do you think you listened to before you ever came to Harvest? I mean, our You're listening to three sermons a day. For how long? Wow. And you still came. Wow. With God, all things are possible, huh? Wow. And he never left. Wow. Just how many sermons do you think you've heard in your life? A lot, huh? A lot of sermons. A lot of Wednesday night Bible studies. A lot of guest speakers. A lot of... Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness. There the word is again. Just in a couple of verses, we're seeing it a few times. With thankfulness in your hearts to God, and whatsoever you do, whether it's in word, whether it's what you say, or deed, whatever you do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks. 15, 16, 17, three thanks. Three verses, three times we're admonished. In everything, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father through him in everything that we do. But the key is the word, I realize in my own life, as the word dwells more richly in my life, the more thankful I find myself being. The less the word is prevalent in my life, the less thankful that I am. I remember one time breaking down in a car, and I remember just thanking God that I even had a car that could break down. And somebody said to me, "Are you crazy?" I said, "No." I said, "I'm just thankful that I had a car. I could not have had a car, but I have one. I'm just thankful that I had a car. Yeah, it may have been old. It may break down periodically, but I'm just so thankful that I got a car. Because if you never had a car and you got a car, you learn to be thankful for that car. Amen? I like to take care of my cars. I like to keep them clean. I like to wash them. I like to sweep them out. Why? Because I'm thankful for them. I like to keep my home. Susan and I like to keep our home neat. We like to keep it clean. Why? Because we're OCD? Well, maybe a little bit, but the truth is, it's because we're thankful. When you're thankful for something, you treasure that. When you're thankful for something, you give attention to whatever it is you're thankful for. Why are y'all just looking at me like? Psalm 36, verse 1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endureth forever." Here we saw this earlier, but we have two reasons. What are the two reasons to give thankfulness for? He's good, and his love endures forever. So if you come to a point where you think, "Well, I don't have anything to be thankful for," no, there it is right there. He's good, and his love endures forever. So every single person has reason to be thankful every single day. Even if things aren't going the way you want them to, even if things aren't happening in the time frame you want them to, but God is good, and his love endures forever. So because God is good, I'm going to be thankful. And because his love endures forever, I'm going to be thankful. And I realize, I acknowledge, and I understand that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. I understand that he is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Well, how do you know that? Because the word is living richly in me. I understand he's the healer of my body. Why? Because the word of God is living richly in me. I understand that no weapon. I understand that he's a strong tower. I understand all these things. Why? Because the word of God lives richly. And if the word of God isn't living richly in us, we lose perspective on the fact that he's good. And when something goes wrong or something happens, we then don't deem him as good. And he is good. You believe that tonight? He's good, and his love never ceases. When we recognize the nature that we came out of, we understand that apart from God, there was only death. But Jesus thankfully said, I have come that you would have life. Well, I'm thankful, because I don't know about you, but I don't like the death part. I like the life part. He said, I have come that you would have life. And then he went on and even made it better. And he said that you would have life more what? Abundantly. So when we understand that he brought us from death to life, we're thankful. When we understand that all things work together for our good, our natural response then as followers of his should be to be grateful for who he is. For not talking about the situation, not talking about the circumstance, we're talking about who he is. Be thankful for who he is. How many of you know situations come and go? How many of you know sometimes things that you were so upset about, they pass and you never even think anything? How many, there are things you were so upset about 20 years ago that you can't even remember what it was now. Sometimes things come and go, but the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 2 says that one of the things in the last days, in lumped amongst all of the things that it talks about, in the last days shall be perilous times. And it gives us a whole list of what society will look like and seem like and act like in that particular time. Right in the middle of it all is people will be unthankful. People will be unthankful. So one of the characteristics of the last days is a lack of thanksgiving. A lack of thanksgiving. Christians should be thankful. Non-believers, unbelievers are not thankful. But it's kind of odd today. We see as many believers sometimes as we do unbelievers that are unthankful. And sometimes I think we've lost sight of what he has called us from. If you have nothing else to be thankful for in your life, he called you from death to life. If you have nothing else to be thankful for in your life, he called you out of darkness. And therefore, you have reason to be thankful. Paul sums it up in Romans 1:21. He says, although they knew God, you know, there's a portion of Scripture that says that people will have a form of godliness. They'll have a resemblance of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Paul sums up here. He says, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. There are people today that claim to know God, but they do not glorify him. There are people today that he's healed, he's delivered, and he's set free, and they've never returned to give him thanks for it. There are people all over the world today that he has called out of darkness and set their feet on a pathway to eternal life with him, and they've never returned to give him thanks for it, because they've been so sidetracked or distracted by the cares and the woes and the disappointments of the world around and about us. Social media, I was told this afternoon, was blowing up. Somebody texted me and said, Pastor, have you heard? Did you see? What? I hurried up, went to Fox News, looked. I didn't see anything there. I went to USA Today. It was on USA Today. It wasn't even on Fox News yet. People were just, Danny, going on about the Dow Jones hitting record highs. Guess in history, 100 and some years, right? Never hit that high. For all those of you who've held out on Apple because you don't like that they're made overseas, guess what? They're coming back home. They're going to build a new, Apple's going to build new facilities right here in the United States, and over $250 billion investment into the United States economy. $250 billion investment, and they're going to use parts only made and manufactured in the United States of America. 20,000 employees. You think people would be shouting at that guy? That's, if you got a 401k, I don't know nothing about them. I don't got one, never had one. But if you do, good for you. You're probably loving it right now, right? Probably loving it right now. And people were still. I know some people in my life that God could rain gold on them. And they'd be like, woo, 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 woo. It wouldn't be enough gold. wouldn't be shiny enough. It would be too heavy. There, how many know person? You know what I'm? How many know what I'm talking about? There would always be something. It's not shiny enough. It didn't come at the right time. It's too heavy. Now I got to carry it. Blah blah da 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 da. Even when good things happen, sometimes we lose our perspective of being thankful that good things are happening. Good things are happening in the world today. It's not all as bad as everybody or some people or media or whoever wants everybody to believe. They had to have over an hour press conference, Ronnie, yesterday from the White House with a White House physician claiming that the President of the United States is healthy. I'm thinking to myself, Melinda, we've got to have better things to do with our time. And even when he told them that the man is extremely healthy, one reporter said, and it's so funny because I told my wife, we're going to see things like this happening where it's going to be like things are going to backfire. This guy says, how can a man that eats junk food and drink diet sodas be so healthy? And the doctor said, I don't know. It must just be in his genes. He said, I told him if he didn't eat junk food and drink diet soda, he'd probably live to be 200 years old. He said, the way it is, he'll probably live to be 100. That's what he said. That's how God made him. Whether you like the man or not, why would you not be thankful that he's healthy? You know? Whether you're in the, whether you're in his corner or you're not in his corner, you know, I wouldn't rejoice in anybody being unhealthy, right? They were so disappointed. They were so upset. The media was actually in a frenzy that they didn't declare him unhealthy or unfit. It was unbelievable. I've never seen so many people want somebody to be sick. They literally have nothing else to do. That's sick, isn't it? It's sick to want somebody to be sick. We lose our focus on being thankful. I thank God every morning. I know this may seem silly to some of you. Every morning when I get up, one of the very first things that I do is I begin to thank God for life. I thank Him for health. Even when I was sick for that 16, 18-hour period, I was thanking Him for health. Even though I wasn't feeling healthy at the moment, I was thanking Him for health. That was the first time I've been sick in a long, long time. But I was thanking Him for health. And I go over my entire body. I thank Him for my mind, Karen. I thank Him for my brain. I thank Him for my eyes. I thank Him for my lungs. I thank Him for my heart. I name, Melinda, the organs in my body, the ones that I can remember to call out. I'll name every single one that I can remember to call by name and thank Him for those organs in my body and give Him thanks for it. And thank Him for allowing me to walk in health today. Allow me to walk in divine health today. Allow me to walk in wisdom today. Allow me, Lord, to walk in grace today. Allow me to walk in mercy today. Because I know something's going to happen that I'm not going to want to have mercy. Something's going to happen I'm not going to want to show grace. Just in the human, none of you know what I'm talking about. You just all show mercy and grace all the time to everybody and everything. Have you ever just not wanted to be merciful at some point? Did you just ever want to not show grace at some point for whatever? every day. I said, God, thank you for helping me to walk in grace today. Thank you for helping me to walk in mercy. Thank you for helping me to walk in love today. Thank you so much that I can walk in my salvation today. I just thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him for those things. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Confessing or professing to be wise, they became fools. Sometimes because situations and circumstance in life, we become unthankful. And because of that, we lose sight of the kingdom. We lose sight of the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God. So last week and this week, we've learned to take our cares and our concerns to the Lord. And we need to do it with an attitude of thanksgiving. So we take our cares and our concerns to him because he cares for us. And we do it with thankfulness of heart. Amen? And if we can begin to cultivate the atmosphere of those two things in our life, where do we go? Go to the Lord. How do we go to him? With thankfulness. You know, it's much easier to receive somebody when they come to you and say, oh, hey, as opposed to them yelling at you or beating their fist at you. Imagine how many times God hears in a day a thundering fist his way. Accusations flying at him. Well, if you were good. No, there's no debate. If you were good. No, stop that. Stop that. There's no debate. God is good. If you were faithful. No. Stop that. What are you cultivating? God is good. God is good. And because he is good, we don't cultivate the opposite of that in our life. So we've got to begin to cultivate the attitude of where are we going to go and how are we going to go there. You know, you want something from somebody that's in a position to help you with it, you don't go screaming at them. You don't go yelling at them. You don't go accusing them of something. You don't go with a wrong attitude, a wrong heart. And I think a lot of times we go before the Lord with a wrong attitude, Danny. We just go to him with the wrong. Our attitude's wrong. Our heart's wrong. Our mentality's wrong. Our perspective is wrong. Our outlook is wrong. But when you know who he is, you know what he's called you from, you know how he views you, you understand that you can go to him and he's not going to turn his back on you. He's going to love you in spite of or regardless of whatever may be transpiring in your life. And he's going to be there to bring you through it. He's going to bring you through it. So just start giving him thanks. Just start giving him thanks for it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We thank you again for this night. We thank you again for the opportunity, Lord, that you've given us here tonight to once again gather around your word. I pray, Lord, that your word would dwell richly in our hearts, as the scripture says. Lord, I pray that whether we're in sanctuary tonight or somebody listening will listen to this on the internet, Lord, I pray that your word would dwell richly in our hearts. We know that we need to come to you, and we need to come to you with an attitude and an atmosphere of thanksgiving in our hearts. Because, God, we know that's what you desire for us. You said it over and over and over in your word for us to be thankful. For this is the will of God concerning us. So, Lord, I pray tonight for those who may be struggling in situations and circumstances, Lord, that they would learn to come to you and to give you thanks. Because you work all things together for our good. And I give you praise. I bless you and I honor you. I pray tonight that each one hearing the sound of my voice, that their rising and their sitting will be blessed. I pray that their going and their coming back will be blessed. I pray that what they place their hands upon will be blessed. I pray the fruit of their labor will be blessed, Lord, as your word dwells richly within their hearts and in their minds. Perfect peace, your word says, have they whose minds are stayed on you. So, Father, help us. Help us to have our heart in the right place, our mind in the right place, our focus in the right place, and your peace will permeate our hearts. We give you praise. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.